The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Is that us? Are we on? It's 12:05. It's a Monday, and Dame Shirley's not in today. And I've just been out to the front desk here at the Riverside Centre, and there's a lovely lady here on a Monday. She's also here on a Friday. Have you met her? She's a really nice, sweet lady. Here, where's Shirley today? And I said, she's not in. She's got a runny nose. Better than having a runny bottom, she said.
It's true, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Yes, absolutely true. Anyway, Dame Shirley, get well soon. She's got a bit of a cold today, and we do ban people from the studio, but I don't think she was... I saw her yesterday in the car. She didn't look too good then, so I would imagine she's struggling a little bit today. But get well soon, Dame Shirley. At your age, you've got to look after the elderly people when you get to 80. You really have. Anyway, we're here until 1 o'clock. We do have a lunchtime social debate, and we've got an array of stuff that we want to talk about. I want to chuck in the school uniform thing as well, because the story broke this morning. This is coming from Carisbrook High School. Do they call it Carisbrook High, or is it someone
Carisbrook
else?
Carisbrook College.
It's college now. Will it always be a high school in your eyes?
I always call it Carisbrook High, really.
Carisbrook High, Cows High. Yeah. Ride High.
Yeah, because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
It only changed like when I was starting sit form, I think. So
it's a bit like the nightclub situation. If you look at the nightclubs back in the 1980s, there were about 35, 40 nightclubs on the Isle of Wight, and some of them would have changed hands, but they'd always have the same name. Like Brookhouse was always going to be Brookhouse, and Barney's was always going to be Barney's. Sadly, those are no longer with us. They got knocked down, and now they're built flats on. But they'll always be, oh, do you remember Barney's? Mm. No one ever remembers what else they called them. So, you know, Carisbrook High, Carisbrook College. Mm. It will take years for that to go. Now, the chocolate teapot that is useful. This is one. Let's get this out of the way. We've got Brandon coming in, and we were, though he's disappeared from the building. He wanted to tell us about his strip search. He couldn't be bursting through the door, and wanted to tell Mary earlier on, who coloured up, blushed up, and left the building. The chocolate teapot that is useful, handmade edible crockery, is designed for holding and pouring hot drinks, but it does eventually melt. Online retailers Firebox from London have launched the Canny £25 gift. Can be filled with hot water to make a rich, hot chocolate drink. It can also be used as chocolate fondue to dip sweet treats into. So when people say you're about as useful as a chocolate teapot, It is useful. They've got some lovely pictures there of it melting, and there's a nice little strawberry on there. And it's only £25.
I
want one of those as well. I just wonder how many drinks you get out of it. The teapot, handmade from 58% dark chocolate, can be filled with hot water and cocoa powder and then poured into a cup. More water can be added to turn the teapot into a retro chocolate fondue, perfect for dipping banana, strawberries or marshmallows into the creamy chocolate. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? £25 pot is flying off the shelves ahead of Easter by people wanting to prove there is such a thing as a useful chocolate teapot. A spokesperson said, it's more useful than an ashtray on a motorbike, a waterproof tea bag, a glass hammer or mud flaps on a tortoise. Handmade in Britain from quality dark chocolate, the 600 gram teapot turns old wisdom on its stupid old head, it says here. So I want one of those. Don't
I
you?
Want one.
I don't want an Easter egg. I want a chocolate teapot.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. That sounds totally wicked. Now, okay, that's the first story done and dusted. The other one I was telling you about just before 12 o'clock. I don't know what your thoughts are on this. There's a TV programme that was... We've got it recorded. We haven't watched it yet. And I think it's come back for the third series. Do you watch Grantchester?
Not really.
Not seen it at all?
No.
Ever?
No.
It's that... It's the guy that used to be in, oh crikey, what was it called years ago? He was in Casualty, and then he was in something else. Little Scottish fella, does a lot of fishing. He was in it. and it'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, viewers criticise ITV for poorly timed Grantchester episode featuring a 15-year-old sex abuse victim that was broadcast at the same day Adam Johnson was found guilty of child sex. Fans of the 1950s crime series series say the new episode was poorly timed. The show was followed by the Johnson headlines on ITV News at 10 and was found guilty of one count of sexual activity with a 15-year-old. The storyline featured a girl the same age as his victim being groomed. Fans of the Grantchester TV series have been basically having a bit of a moan and a groan. The first episode of the 1950s crime was back on the screens, featured this 15-year-old girl exactly the same age as Johnson's victim. Fans of the programme, which stars James Norton and Robson Green, he was the bloke I was trying to think of, Robson Green, was blasted as it was poorly timed, and it was also immediately following the news at 10. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but it's a TV programme that has probably been programmed into play out on air weeks, months in advance. This is a new story, and I don't know, what is it, people just want to have a bit of a moan and a groan? I know that in the past, when we've had things like, you know, there's been a bomb go off and it's killed and maimed a few people, and they've had a story line in a TV programme, and they've said, for obvious reasons, we are not showing this tonight. And I always think, well, hang on a minute, are you wrapping us up in cotton wool? Are you, you know, because I just think we've got some words of wisdom coming through from people. Michelle says, grow up, world. For goodness sake. So because a few keyboard warriors had a bit of a moan, Grantchester, a well-loved seasoned ITV, should not air or postpone an entire episode. Get in the real world. See, I think that's bang on. I think, what are we doing here? We're just sort of, okay, you can't do that. We won't watch anything at that, right, will we? Cause
no, there'll be something wrong with everything. And
absolutely.
Stupid.
It's just, you think, well, hang on a minute, just you know, see it for what it is. It's a TV programme. Yeah. It's not like the guy was wearing a Sunderland shirt.
No.
Was it? It's not like it was set in today's world and it featured Sunderland Football Club. It was set in the 1950s and didn't have anything to do with football.
What time was it on anyway?
It was on at 9 o'clock.
Oh, it's
so
not.
After the watershed. Yeah. And you know, other people are saying, Mark says, well, timing could have been better, but that's not ITV's fault. This was filmed last year. They wouldn't have known it would clash with the trial. It was a good opening episode, despite the subject matter. Joanna says, I have had many women born in the 1950s, the 60s and 70s. Most of them had sex before they were 16. Unfortunate timing, but if TV schedulers had to pay this close attention to real-life events, shows like Homeland could never be aired. Do you watch Homeland?
No.
No, didn't think you did. But anything, any programme would be too close to or near to the knuckle, and you wouldn't be able to watch anything, would you?
It's just like something, someone was killed on a programme. It often happens, classic storyline sort of thing. You know, it happens in the real world too, so you can't... there's going to be things that are going to clash, but what can you do?
Exactly.
Otherwise, it'd just be all, I don't know, what storylines could you have in for TV programmes? It would just be boring, wouldn't it?
I remember a couple of years ago, my wife's cat, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, my wife's cat died, and on some programme that we were watching later on, their cat died as well, and my wife got upset, but she didn't complain to ITV because they didn't know. They didn't know about Doug dying, the cat of ours. But, you know, it's, they're not, they can't know everything. But having said that, there may have been, would they have known? Possibly not. But if there was a hint that they did, then you would question it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Then you would question it. They might have known that the trial was actually going on.
Yeah.
They might have known that the trial was going on and there was a chance that he was going to be found guilty. And if that was the case, then only they can answer those questions. But if that was the case, then you would question it.
It just makes me like, it probably sounds stupid, but why, if people are getting so, like, complaining about it, why is it being shown on the news anyway? Why don't they complain to the news lot if they don't want it on, you know, say if their kids were watching or something, why have it on the news anyway at like 6? It just makes you...
Well, that's the other argument, and that is a good argument, is stuff that's in the news. Is it, I mean, would you have broadcast that sort of stuff before 9 o'clock, or is it licensed?
The stuff you hear on the news at 6 o'clock is, you know, I wouldn't want my kids when, you know, when they grow up to have it, when I have kids, you know, I wouldn't want them to hear, oh, this person's been sexually abused at underage and all this, like, murders and all that. It's, you know, quite often kids watch the news and so all that as a family, so...
So should the news be on after 9 o'clock?
Well, that's an argument. Not many people would be up after 9 o'clock. Why would be now? But, you know, I can see why the news is on at 6, but it's just one of those things. Do people want to know what's going on?
You make a very good point.
It's complicated, because you'd want the news to be on at a reasonable time, but you wouldn't want to hear all those horrible stories. But then some people do want to hear all these things going on.
You do make a very good point, and it's, I look at it and think, well, hang on a minute. You've got the news at 6 o'clock. You've probably got the news at 1 o'clock in lunchtime. Well, let's take the 6 o'clock news. You brought it up. 6 o'clock news.
That's sort of the main one, isn't it?
So you've got news of the day, and at no point do they warn you before the news is aired that you may hear something that may be distressing.
Even like the headlines, you know, when it flashes up, when at the top of the show you have like sexually assaulted, you know, victim or something, you're not even warned before that. It's straight in you at 6 o'clock. It's straight on you about what's going to be going on, and you can't just take your kid away from it after that, because they'll be scared even at that, won't they, if they're vulnerable children.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see, because I don't really remember watching the news. I know that they do say, before they do certain stories, they may say you might find some of these images distressing, but they don't at the beginning of the show say...
Even the words can just be just as hurtful.
Absolutely, but they don't say at the beginning of the show that you may find some of this distressing and you may want to look away. They wait until they get to the point, whereas if you're watching, say, Grantchester or any other TV programme at 9 o'clock, they do say sometimes that there will be some bad language from the offset, or there could be some sexy scenes.
Yeah, it's just like the, you know, when you have the flashing lights and all that on the show, they say there's going to be flashing lights, don't watch it.
Exactly.
Same sort of thing. It's like if you left it, then it would damage people.
So, but the point is, what's the difference between at 9 o'clock? I mean, bearing in mind, it's after the watershed, so therefore we're all grown-ups and we can all handle it.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't expect people to...
You don't get that at 6 o'clock.
No.
You don't get that warning at 6 o'clock at the beginning of the show.
Maybe they wanted news like that.
I can't get a word in anyways. You haven't said a word all morning.
Well...
And here we go. We get to this part of the show and I'm thinking...
Oh, shut up then, shall I?
I'll have to fill this bit. And it's... Okay. No, it's great. It's great to hear. You've made some really, really good points.
Quiet.
No, I don't want you to be quiet. I think it's really, really good that the point that you've made is that, you know, what's the difference? After 6 o'clock, we get news that is probably just as worse, is probably worse than it is at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, why can't they just have all the horrible stuff at 9 o'clock? Say, like, the thing with Adam Johnson. Why can't that be at 9 o'clock and have a bit more, like, not light-hearted news, but a bit more relaxed in the sense of you don't go into it as much at 6.
Absolutely.
Because it's like kids, I wouldn't even want to hear about some things on the news and all that, and I'm 19.
Two versions of news then, one you know, before the watershed. Yeah. And one after.
Because like this Grantchester thing, probably in the description there probably would have been the basic storyline, so they've been a victim of sexual assault and all that, and then people will know, wouldn't they?
But yeah,
I don't see why people are complaining about something that... Well, it's a bit harsh to say doesn't affect them, because maybe it has for quite a number of people, unfortunately. But, you know, it's in the description. Read the description of the episode. And even in the TV guides, there must be a, like, inkling of what's going on in the episode. You wouldn't just watch it.
So how would you feel when you go to Facebook and you see bad language and stories there that you would much rather not watch or hear about? And you know, I know that people post pictures and video footage and so on. Mm. And that could also equally be deemed as just as damaging as what the ITV have been accused of.
Well, it's their page, isn't it, really? So I just choose not to look at it.
I guess so, but then it's, you know...
There are obviously going to be some things that are out of the way. Yeah.
They could say it's their station.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's their station.
It's just, I suppose the news is more like you can people tune in. There must be thousands and thousands watching that, and it's different to a Facebook page, because I know some things do come up in the news feed, but the majority of the stuff in the news feed on Facebook will be from pages you've liked or friends you're on friends with Facebook and all that. So it's sort of different that you probably wouldn't see as much in it. And if you don't want to see it, just hide it. That's what I do.
Okay, but then they could say that equally of TV. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
True.
You know, it's
there's always two sides to an argument. You're never going to win, are you?
How is it? What we're saying here is on Facebook, it's not policed, and it's a case of if you don't like it, tune out. But when a minute it goes on the television, people start moaning and groaning.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
Yeah, so that's the other point of it. But how I think the news is more like, I suppose when the internet is a bit more controlled by parents, I suppose, to younger kids. Whereas when you turn on the television, if you just want to go on your Xbox or something like that,
yeah,
you turn on the telly, there'll be a channel most likely come up. And if you see that, it might hurt. Whether the internet is more, you can say, I don't want you on Facebook yet. You can block the site, and I don't know how easy that is with television, like just a standard television. Because if you're a little kid, like I've got a television up in my room, just like the standard digital, well, Freeview-y sort of thing.
Okay.
So I don't know how easy it would be to block channels on that. So
it would be really, really easy, because I know on Sky they have like,
I know
a
Sky
code.
Do it quite easy, yeah.
You have a code. But it's quite interesting. If you were to watch, if you're watching the television after 9 o'clock, and there's certain things that you would need a code for if you've got it set up, you don't need to put the code in.
No.
There's certain programs. But if you just say, for instance, if you've got a program that was on after 9 o'clock that had some bad language and some violence in, and you're trying to watch it on Sky at 1:30 in the afternoon, it would ask you for a code.
I know Sky is quite easy to set up, but like whether my, I'd have to look into my telly, but it's no box there to sort out. It's just in the telly, like the standard channel. So I don't really know how easy it would be to block ITV and all that just because of some things. But then after 9 o'clock, it's,
yeah,
you know, after 9 o'clock, it's your, you know, it's the watershed. So there is risk of bad language, violence, some stories you might not want to know. So it's their risk then.
Okay, but it just seems a little bit hypocritical, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's
because
that sort of thing.
On one hand, you've got one thing, one rule, TV have to abide by, but internet they don't. And when you're on Facebook, there's no, you don't get a choice. They don't get somebody warning you that you may see some bad language or something. But you do that on the television, which I guess is much more professionally run. And they've obviously got to adhere to stronger rules from people like Ofcom. But you make a really good point about the news. And for some, you know, reason, grown-ups kind of take it for granted that is okay and acceptable to put that storyline on at 5:30 or 6 o'clock and go into great detail, whereas that detail is probably nowhere near as damaging and as hard-hitting as a TV programme that you're watching after 9 o'clock, that they may warn you that you may see someone's bum 30 seconds into the programme. You know, that to me is, before you watch the news now, they ought to give you a warning that this might upset your kids. If you've got, you know, don't wait until the story's just about to go out and then say, oh, there's some strobe light in here, it might blow your mind.
Yeah, because you sort of get the light. You get the start of the story, and then it says some images may be distressed. You might have already been distressed for what you've been saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like, oh,
not only that, if you're watching one of these programs and they're introduced to a program that starts at 9 o'clock, they will say to you, this program will contain X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
And then there's the build up of the program starting. When the BBC say, you might find some of these scenes disturbing, bang, you're into it. You've seen it before you get a chance to turn it off.
Mm.
So there's a difference, there's a massive difference there, but it does highlight a point. Grow up, says Susie. you load of namby-pamby idiots. These are the people having a go at the people that are actually moaning and groaning, that have complained to ITV about Grant Chester being on the television the same day as this guy playing for Sunderland was charged and found guilty of having sex with somebody under the age of 16. I'm sure this was scheduled long before the footballer's case ever came to court. Wayne says, I put it to you that this that was the court case that actually was poorly timed. The programme was made and planned over a year ago. It's not as easy as it sounds to pull a series. All the publicity has been done. The TV papers are all printed. The slots are arranged. Okay, it's probably different to what it was back in the 1980s. I remember when, if you've seen a documentary with Only Fools and Horses, how do we get from there to there? Only Fools and Horses to there. I remember seeing Rodney Trotter. Do you remember that? Have you watched Only Fools and Horses?
Yep.
The one where the chandelier falls from the ceiling?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, they made a point of doing this in the documentary because it was the last episode of the series, and they had to pay out something like £2,000 for a mock chandelier. And Rodney Trotter had to go up, and he said he was giggling and laughing all morning about, you know, before this was off camera, and he was told by this guy, I think it was Gwyneth somebody or other, he was told him, if you mess this up, because you get one chance to do it, that chandelier is going to fall from the ceiling, and you are going to not laugh. You are just going to look with total shock on your face. Now, you're laughing already. How incredibly difficult was this? And apparently he shoved tissues into his mouth to stop him from opening his mouth and giggling and laughing. But he was told that if you go up that ladder and that thing falls down and you're giggling, we haven't got the shot. We then haven't got the last shot of the series, and all those other episodes, they won't go out on air because they need the whole complete series, because that's how it works. It's just tidying up the program and putting it all in place. Now, there is some people will say, well, hang on a minute, they pull programs and then they catch up somehow. But that's how it was done then, and I would imagine it's just as difficult now to squeeze in, especially if you're looking at prime time, 9 o'clock prime time. They've already got probably the next series lined up and the series after that lined up, and they're probably going up to Christmas with X amount, and if they mess up 1 week, they've got to try and find a spot. So that's incredibly difficult. So there's no way that they're going to pull that over this incident, but they do it sometimes, and they say, you know, just say for instance a massive train wreck in a storyline, and that's the big storyline of the day, they do say, oh, and we can't show you tonight's Waking the Dead or whatever. So they do it, they can pull it, but it'd be interesting to see whether or not they did. You know, only they know whether they know the timing of that court case. They would have known that in advance when that court case was coming. But is it their job to know every court case? Probably not. Now, Brandon's just come in. I don't know whether you caught the end of this story. Do you have an opinion on it? If not...
What with the whole having... what's it called? Warning messages before something's played out.
Yeah, kind of.
I find the news is really, really funny because obviously when you're watching TV, some kids, when they watch TV, will get that it's you know, a cartoon. For example, American Dad, Family Guy. Family Guy and American Dad both have warnings on Fox saying, hey, this contains adult comedy, you know, adult humour. You know, that kind of simple warning, this is going to have some bad language or some jokes in it. Kids will understand kind of, oh, this is not for me. But with news, it's just, it's up and it's done and it's already playing, and that's real life. And kids will know it's real life because it's a person telling them, oh, someone's been murdered down here and here. You know, and you see pictures of people going in with forensics, and it's kind of, that's more freaky than having some cartoon character saying a naughty word or, as you say, a bum being shown. You know, a kid would laugh at that, you know.
It does make me laugh when they say, you know, you might see some nakedness, and you think, right, okay, so we've just seen someone's backside.
Yeah.
It is after 9 o'clock. I'm expecting to see someone's backside after 9 o'clock. It's after the watershed.
Yeah.
I don't need a warning. I don't need someone to hold my hand.
Well, the thing is, Fox even do the warnings after around about 10 o'clock. It's about midnight when they start. They still continue doing the warnings. So it's kind of, I think TV and a lot of stuff, even radio, needs a kind of a bit of an update into today's world. I mean, for example, the whole thing about sex, as you were talking about, you know, underage people having sex and such. You can you can have sex at 16, but you can't watch porn until you're 18.
Right.
You can what is it? You can sign up to the military when you're 16, but you can't play a violent video game until you're 18.
Right.
There's lots of contradicting laws that have been updated and changed while other things have not been updated and changed. So we're stuck in that era of, this can be played here, but you can do this at this time, but you can't do that at that time. And it's confusing.
That's interesting. My complaint, it says here from Zoe, my complaint about the episode is that although it's set in the 1950s, they do talk and some of their attitudes are more from 2016. Having not seen it yet, I've recorded it and I would have watched it last Wednesday, but I think there was a football match on. so I'm not going to get upset because it's not after the same, or the same day as he got a sentence. But it's interesting. You bring up the words, you know, swearing.
Yeah.
Because there is a place in the UK that have brought that has brought in some kind of law. This is only one particular town. They've announced this over the weekend. Can't remember where it is. It may be up country somewhere. And they said if you are caught swearing, you get a £90 fine. Now this is in the UK.
There is some places in America that do the same thing.
Well, let's deal with the UK first of all. I mean, you know, I look at that and I think, I'm liking the sound of that.
It's a good way of keeping smut off the streets, really, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to be walking along with a kid and you're going down the shops and you see some teenagers, or that's the stereotypical type, but you see some adults or whatever and they're just swearing and saying horrible things, you've got to kind of like cover up your kid's ears as you walk past, you know. It doesn't make sense. It's a good law, but the £90 fine's a little bit...
No, I think that's I think that's the best thing about it. It's a £90 because it's going to put you off, isn't it?
Definitely. But then, how can you add exaggeration to certain conversations when you're not simple-minded? But when
what
you,
happens if you've got Tourette's or anything like that?
Yeah,
Well, you'd have to prove that one, wouldn't you?
Walk around with a medical paper.
Well, you would. You'd have to prove it. But then. Look at us, how hypocritical are we, where we have a bit of a moan and a groan because the news are going to show something really awful in a minute, but they don't warn you, because it is the sort of stuff that they'd normally, you know, if it was on a TV programme, they'd be dealing with that after 9 o'clock, and yet what we're saying is all right for someone effing Jeff in the street. Without any kind of warning at all. I mean, it is a bit hypocritical, isn't it?
Well, it'd be the same as if we said something on air that's a swear word. You know, it's a shock to the public, and it would kind of freak people out. But then again, you can't really control every single person in the UK not to swear, because, to be honest, I'd like to swear. Not on here, obviously, but, like, say if I want to add exaggeration to a story that I'm telling to some friends and I use a swear word, I don't want some random person to come over and just be like, well, that's a £90 fine there, sir. Okay, where am I going to pull that from?
Well, you should have thought about that before you had your foul mouth, shouldn't you?
Yeah, but...
Because you're expecting the same kind of enforcements on television and the radio.
Yeah, but I wouldn't swear in front of kids.
Yeah, but why can't you control yourself? That's the question, isn't it? It's almost like we're passing the buck and the responsibility over to, you know, TV and the like, and yet, but we can't control it ourselves.
Mm.
You know, if we live by the sword, we die by the sword, don't we?
Well, that's a very powerful expression. Well, that's an old-fashioned expression as well. You've been watching Downton Abbey, have you?
No. I've got that to come.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, sir.
See, I don't talk like that.
Yeah, you do. You go home. You go home and you sit in your orange socks and you walk around with a very posh accent as you walk around. Oh, right. Darling, them roast spuds are smelling lovely on the barrio there.
How do you know we had roast spuds last night?
I know everything you do. I stalk you. I watch your Facebook page intently and just constantly keep them refreshing.
I don't put much on there. I really don't put
I know that. You're boring like that.
I am. I just think this is fascinating how we can say on the TV we've got to have more control.
Yeah.
Just don't do this, don't do that. But the minute you say, well, if we're gonna fine people for swearing and letting themselves go in the town, I think that's brilliant. I think more power to their elbow, let's do it. £90 fine.
I think the rules of natural like day should be implied on TV. But if you're gonna have things like swearing removed, then you know, how are you going to have some funny jokes that are played out on air, on TV and such?
You have to wait for those until after a certain time, don't you?
So the rule would be that I'm able to swear after 9 o'clock. Would that be the rule in normal time?
That's when the youngsters deemed are will be in bed.
True.
It's the problem of how you would enforce it, though. You can't have, like, people everywhere going, that's it, not
we're the swear fight. Police.
Big stick. A big stick and someone to take your money off you. I think that's
You'd
fair
enough.
You'd
have to employ so many more people to do
it. Everyone would have jobs then.
Well, yeah.
That'd be a pretty cool job. I'm part of the swear police. You could call it, like, the SWAT or something like that, but something different.
Yeah. I've been made up from the poo police, dog poo police, you know. That's
poo patrol.
That sounds even better, doesn't it? What are you, part of the PP? I'm part of the PP.
The poo patrol.
Yeah. No, that's poo-poo, and this is pee patrol is weeing in the street as well. I mean, honestly, it just makes, to me, it's common sense, but it's all about passing the buck, isn't it? Oh, you can't do that. On a TV, you have to look after us, but that's all right. I'm going to go out in the town, and I'm going to, you know, F and J.
It's a good point, because, like, accidentally, I could possibly swear, not severely swear. Like, I could say last night, I was in a restaurant, I accidentally said something, I apologised straight away. You know, I don't think anyone heard me anyway. See, but that's the point. If I accidentally swore, or if any of my family swear, we apologise straight away, saying bad language, sorry, you know.
Excuse my French.
Well, yeah, I say that sometimes.
See, that's when the swear police would come in, pepper spray you and take your money, like rob you and then run
I'm
off.
I'm not going to sound of this.
But, you know, I don't...
Do we get an outfit?
Yeah.
A little leather outfit.
Yeah.
A little whip.
But yeah, I don't generally swear out in public because I don't think it's right for little kids, especially when kids are around. I'm like, no, definitely
sure.
not.
Sure.
The worst thing is when you hear the little kids swearing at you.
Yeah, I get shocked when I see little kids, you know, like 10-year-olds swearing, and even like when you get to 12, you see them all on their scooters swearing and they're going, for goodness sake, you're only 12.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But how do you think about the... I saw somebody today and it was like this guy on the way to work. He's probably a man in his 50s. And he's done that thing, you know, when you're trying to clear your throat, and you do that snorty thing as well, and then you whatever you got going there, you get rid of.
Oh yeah, spit off. Yeah, okay. That's disgusting.
And he's done that on the floor, and then he's chucked his fag butt out as well, and just thrown it down. And I'm thinking, okay, so you're a litter bug. When the rain comes down, it'll wash your gob away. That's fine, but that fag butt'll still be there.
Yeah.
So is that, I mean, that's
see,
a similar
thing.
See,
when I smoke, I try to put my fag butts away. I mean, outside Vectors, obviously, there's no bin, but I did actually the other day scoop it all up and put it into a cup and bin it, because it's same as, like, when I'm sat down ride. Whenever I'm sat waiting for the bus to go home, and there's always kids there, there's always adults smoking or whatever, and they always throw the fag butts on the floor. There's a bin less than, like, 20 steps away. Whenever I smoke, I dab it out, make sure I rub it so all the... what's it called, ash and such goes, and then bin it, because it's just
you're making yourself out to be a right saint now.
I am. You want to see it? Go down the ride. I'm there every time. I always have a smoke before I get on the bus.
Okay, but what, all your fag butts are where?
In the bin. Yeah.
Right, but they were out here because there wasn't a bin.
No, but I do sweep them up from time to time. Yeah, from time to time, yeah.
But the ones that are blown away and already, like, you know, gone without your sweeping up,
why don't you put them in a cup anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do that from now on.
And
then.
I bet you.
Put them in a cup, and then when it's full, chuck it away, get a new cup. Or
do you smoke Shania?
No, I don't.
Then you don't say anything. Do you smoke?
Don't say anything.
It's difficult.
I have a right.
It is difficult to.
I have a right to say, because I don't want
too
the
right
cigarette butts on the street.
Absolutely, you do.
Especially
I don't
in the
want you, I don't I want you swearing in restaurants when I'm having a lovely meal.
I try not to. That was one accidental. I think my dad was going on about that shoplifting, actually, and I was telling him where to go. But, you know. Getting back to the point.
If Brandon got up and walked out, you upset him.
Yeah, I would have stepped up and gone, excuse me.
I apologise straight away. But so if I was walking into Vectors Road, I wouldn't want to see cigarette butts all over the place.
Absolutely.
Well, I would apologise and ask for a bin.
Oh.
Oh, look at you.
Go to the pound shop and get a bin.
We're talking about this TV programme, Grantchester, and the fact that last week when it aired, the first episode featured a storyline that was kind of similar to the story that broke in the press, where a Sunderland, I can't even remember the guy's name, was it Adams?
Adam Johnson.
Yeah, this is
He's got done for, on one count of underage sex. Karen says, I was married a month after my 16th birthday. My husband and I will be celebrating our 42nd wedding anniversary this August. We have 4 grown-up children, the eldest 2 I had at 17. My husband is nearly 8 years older than me, and in the present day would have been prosecuted, jailed and placed on the sex register as a paedophile. I'm not condoning his behaviour, but would this even go to court if he was just an ordinary Joe Blogg? He was an idiot and has thrown his career, his girlfriend and life away, but some of the comments made and media attention would suggest he committed mass murder. Okay, so I'm just trying to work out.
The thing is with that story as well, have you heard what the girl was sending to him as well?
Yes.
Yeah, well, in reality then, why would you allow your kid to be, you know, doing that kind of stuff?
Let's be honest. I mean, you can't keep tabs on your kids all the time. You know, if they've got a mobile phone and they're out of your, you know, your earshot, your control, they can do almost anything they like on that mobile phone. They can message you as well. Because Shania has, probably.
I actually
messaged anybody you like. I'm not saying you've sent horrible messages, but you are free to send.
Or texting a famous footballer.
Yeah. You are free to send a message to whoever, because there's no one there to stop you, is there?
Yeah, well, I'm 19 now anyway, so.
There you go.
Really
to be honest, I actually do have a good point. My first ever relationship that I got intimate in, I was underage.
Can I just say, we'll be the judge whether it was a good point or
well,
not?
Well, no, it does make sense, because actually I did do the behavioural thing, but it just shows you how the law is today. Me and this girl were. What was it? I was of age, and she was a year below me. Okay, so there's a year difference between me and this girl that I first got intimate with.
Sure you want to tell this story?
Well, no, because yeah, I just want I want to make
it go horribly wrong.
No, I'm trying not to make it go horribly wrong. I'm trying to make it to make sense. We were both underage when we first met.
Can I just say this isn't a confession, is it?
No. It's just making points on the law. Okay, right. So we were both underage when we met, and. I was with her for about 6 months, and then we decided to get intimate. When I hit 16, I said to her, I don't want to do any of that, because I'm of age now and you're not, when we were both underage when we started. So I actually waited a whole year before she hit 16 before we got intimate again. If that makes sense. Because
that's kind of a confession, isn't
it? It's not a confession, it makes sense, because we were both underage when we started.
Oh my gosh.
I obviously became of age, she wasn't, so I stopped. And I said, if we, you know, wait, because it's considered that I'm old enough and you're not, if that makes...
Yeah, but you weren't old enough in the first place.
Yeah, but that's
so you
young
kind of
people.
Breaking the law even then, which you've
that's
just
young people
to.
Though. That's young people though.
But then would they that's quite a complicated can of worms you've just opened.
Well, no, I'm just trying to make a point that like a lot of underage people would be with underage people. I wouldn't go with someone younger than me that's below the age limit of my age, obviously. If it's a hard thing to describe.
It's almost like, you know, getting to the age of 16 and saying, well, look, we've been doing this anyway for a long time now.
Yeah.
But I'm too old for you now.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you're underage, I'm of age.
So you're going to have to wait another 5 months before you'll catch me up. I mean, that's what it comes across to sound like. I admire your honesty. I'm not sure whether you've, you know, put yourself into some kind of trouble there.
We'll have to check
the lawyers. and see, but
they know where you are, don't they?
That's well, to be honest, just to put it out there, that's just how the law works. It's a weird thing because it was only a couple of months between us, but it was the whole thing of, well, I'm of age and I don't want to be with someone who's underage and I can get in trouble for.
I just want to put it out there, it's not probably the term that you should use. I watched the programme for the first time as it's starting again. Complaining viewers are being overly sensitive. It was coincidental, that's all. I, for one, reflected on the fact grooming of children took place too long before the digital age began. Personally, I never gave the court case a thought whilst watching Grantchester, says Dolly. And Pete says it all, actually. Some people really do lead miserable lives, as they always on the lookout to complain about something or other. I think you're bang on with that. We'll take a quick break and we'll have something else to moan about for in about 2 minutes' time.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
This is Vectis Radio.
Tense. Nervous headache. Life just bringing you down. You know what you need? Church of Eon, the debut album, All Out Tomorrows. Available over the counter, no prescription needed. HMV, Amazon, iTunes, all your favourite record stores. And if you want a t-shirt or a signed copy, go to churchofeon.com. Can't you feel it?
Do you need that unsightly chewing gum removed in an eco-friendly way without any hindrance to your day-to-day business? Do you need that fragile stonework cleaned, and are you worried that it could be damaged? Worry no more, because White Stream Hydro Cleaning Services is here. We are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialists. We cover the commercial, industrial, maritime and solar sectors for all of your cleaning and restoration needs. Call our professional team on 01983 642 101. That's 01983 642 101. Or go to our website www.whitestream.co.uk for a full list of our services. White Stream. It's what's on the outside that counts.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call Westwhite Audio for expert friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cowes to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
The modernistic sounds of R&B, soul and ska from the great days of the jukeboxes, coffee bars and cafes. Mix it up with memories of smart suits, miniskirts and scooters. Sprinkle in some two-tone northern soul and classics and your Monday night's complete. Join me, Marco, for Mod Anthems every Monday evening, 7 till 10pm. And let's go back to the future.
Social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Welcome back to part two. Then in part one, we were talking about the TV programme Grantchester, which aired last Wednesday for the first time in this series. And it came on the same day when Adam Johnson was found guilty of something similar that you saw on the television between 9 and 10. And most people are saying that those people that did complain to ITV get a life. And I think that... Is that your thoughts as well, Shania?
Pretty much.
Get a life, grow up.
Yeah, but in a more polite way.
Okay, because you're politer than I am, if that's a word. Yeah. Is this the most embarrassing selfie ever? A woman sends innocent snap of herself to her family before realising she'd left two very personal items in the background. Okay, the image and the text conversation featuring it were posted to IMGUR by the woman's brother, who goes by the username of O Fudge Mocha. Okay, that's a great name, O Fudge Mocha. After realizing her mistake, the unnamed woman sent a Mayday message to her brother, begging him to distract her parents so they didn't notice. Instead, he informs her that he plans on posting the conversation online. Now, the text message grabs with the woman sending a picture to a text message group, which has been titled Fam on her brother's phone, short family, I'm guessing, I'm hoping. In the image, the unidentified person is seen in her bathroom, standing in front of the mirror whilst snapping herself on the phone that she later sent to her family in the hopes of showing off her new hairstyle. So she's got a new hairstyle. Yeah, I'm looking at that. Do you know what? I didn't even notice the hairstyle, to be honest, when I saw the story. And, yeah, it's quite a, you know, it's very 80s. It's long, curly hair. Looks like it's been permed. And it revealed in the background, hair on for my interview, the woman who was wearing a casual outfit. She goes on to say green shorts and a hooded sweater. Not a good thing for an interview. Wrote alongside the image before adding, now I have to go and put my mask on. Interestingly, her brother and indeed her parents didn't initially spot there was anything out of the ordinary in the image. By the way, we haven't told you what's in the image yet. And to the naked eye, it is tricky to spot the two very personal items that she left laying on the back of her toilet. I didn't realise they were on the back of the toilet. Oh, they are. Yes, I can see them now. Interestingly, her brother, indeed, in fact, her brother starts poking fun at her for an entirely different reason, joking that she needs to go and put some makeup on so that people can't see your freckles and your weird face. But their lack of response didn't stop her from flying into a panic as soon as she realised what exactly was left on the image that she had sent to her family. So she sent a message, okay, mayday, mayday, a grab from a later text conversation with her brother reads, that pic I just sent you has not one, but two dildos in it. The poor woman then begs her brother to spam the fam, text for a minute so mum won't see, pleading with him to please hurry. But far from being prepared to help her sister out of a tough spot, this is your brother do this exactly the same thing with you, not saying that you would have done this anyway, which we'll come to that in a minute. But her brother actually takes the opportunity to relish in her misery by replying to her desperate text by saying that he was planning to put the image and the whole conversation on Imgur, which he very quickly did. Since the conversation, the offending image was posted. It has been viewed 159,000 times, racking up dozens of comments from other users who took the opportunity to either laugh at the woman's plight or delight in her despair. It does beg the question, why would anyone want to do something like that and a selfie? Heavy use of text slang, I barely understood it. It says, got a couple of comments here, didn't even notice. Who cares? I wouldn't have noticed them, I wouldn't have known what they are, says Janelle. It's an interesting story, but I mean, have you ever done an embarrassing selfie? Have you done a selfie before? And yeah. Posted it out there and then realised.
Not really posted out.
Okay, but why? I mean, I'm just looking at some of the people that do selfies all the time. Is it Kardashian? Kim Kardashian is in the news today for posting a completely naked post out there, a picture, a selfie. And you just think, why would you want to do that?
Oh.
What? I mean,
I don't know why it's wrong.
I mean, you just think, right, it's kind of linked with what we've been talking about. You know, on the television, we have certain rules and regulations. So this person, you know, not this person with the funny little things in the background, but Kim Kardashian decides that she's going to take a picture of herself naked, okay, and then she's going to post it out there for the whole world to see, but she probably wouldn't go walk down the high street naked. What's the difference?
There isn't really.
And I say, going back to what we were saying earlier on, it kind of contradicts itself a little bit. It's okay to have the news on at 6 o'clock and tell you a story and not get any warnings at all that you might be, you know, a little bit worried by this story or concerned. But at 9 o'clock, when a story is on and it's a drama, that they will warn you that you might see, you know, some nakedness or hear some bad language. There's a warning there. But the daft thing is, after 9 o'clock, you'd expect to see it anyway. What's the difference between that and this lady who wants to keep on posting pictures of herself naked? It goes out everywhere for everyone to see, but she'd probably be arrested if she walked down the high street completely naked, which of course she wouldn't do anyway. What's the difference?
There isn't one.
I find it, but forever and a day now, it feels like you go on to these news, and it's not like a porn website. You go on to the news websites. What is selling? Apparently sexy pictures are selling. Pictures of Kim Kardashian, she's in the news almost every day, completely starkus. What's the story there? It's old hat. It's been done before. But more importantly, you know, there's double standards here, isn't there?
Mm.
You get out. Maybe I should try this. Go down and walk down Newport High Street and just completely starkus. And post a picture online. See which one gets me arrested first. It won't be posting online. It will be walking down the high street.
Hmm.
What is the difference? It's going out and it's going to be seen by millions and millions of people. We've got double standards all around us. Now, I don't know whether we've got time for another quick news story before we go. There was a thing about Katie Hopkins last week. Are you a fan of Katie Hopkins?
Not really.
They've finally given us the vote on Europe just in time to see it collapse. So, in actual fact, for the first time ever, I kind of agree with Katie Hopkins.
Mm.
Did I just say that? So whoever wins, we need to prepare for the chaos that comes after anyway. Okay, can you hear all that babble? Brexit this and grassroots that. Undecided about staying, unsure what might happen if we leave. Listening to Dave the Rave, justifying why we are safer in the Bojo Inn, and Bojo telling us to get the hell out. Bojo, I'm guessing, is short for Boris Johnson. I was getting quite caught up in the excitement of it all, watching grown-ups shouting in and out at each other like a tug-of-war team, digging in with their heels to prove who's got bigger testicles than the other, and only to fall on your backside to find there's nothing on the other end of the rope. So then I stopped for a moment and took a look around. I stopped listening to people telling me why the Schengen zone mattered, and suddenly saw a great wall of wire snaking between Macedonia and Greece. I looked at Merkel and realised instead of a world leader with kindness in her heart, there was just a German, a ginger German at that, eating Fritz, prepared to throw Greece overboard so Germany could keep its head above water. I watched pictures of asylum seekers in Calais fighting authority with rocks and fire. A war of their own making. Then when they were supposed to be escaping the trauma of the very same, asylum seekers slashing their wrists rather than jumping on transport to descent shelter because they had not come this close to Britain to end up living in France. I mean, it goes on. I kind of get what she's saying about the European thing. You know, they give us the vote just as it's about to collapse, or if that's what they had you believe. Now, this has been going on for a month. And what, best part of a month. Are you still any clearer on what you're going to vote for?
No. Not really. I can see sort of reasons to leave, sort of reasons to stay. It's just the questions of what would happen if we did leave. Like, I don't think they've really been answered.
I think that's about right. They still have no clue what they're going to do, and will it be chaotic?
I think it's just because I think it's David Cameron that wants to stay, and everyone else is saying go, but he isn't really saying if we leave, what are going to be the consequences. I think that's sort of because he wants us to stay in Europe.
Sure.
He wants us to have these questions and think, oh no, we're staying because I don't want to risk. Like, what would happen if we did leave?
I've got to be honest, I'm kind of still on the fence, but I think if I had to vote today, I think just I would come out. And the reason why I'd come out is because I think if we are kind of struggling as a nation. Local authorities are getting less and less and less, and that is happening under the European regime, if you like. And I would question whether or not that would be better or not if we didn't have, or we weren't in Europe. It might be a whole lot worse than what we are. But I mean, the thing is, I look at it and just think, well, is this supposed to be good? Is this a success? is what we've got at the moment a success, or can it be better? And I think, you know, people have to step up and be a little bit more honest so that they can convince people like you and me. But at the moment, that's where I would go. But it's very, very minimal between if I had to vote for one way or the other. Hey, look, we've run right out of time. Thank you for being there, Shania.